Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
Time now for the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Yes, yes. Welcome in. It's Balloon Party 101 ESPN. It's a program that is driven by Munganess, St. Louis Acura, Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton Toyota. My name is Timothy Michael McKernan. Standing across from me is Jackson Burkett. And now up in the studio here, which is an idea of the great executive producer Mike Ryder, one of the televisions, which usually features Stephen A. Smith playing a character with Dan Orlovsky playing a character. Now I get to watch the fast lane over Jackson. I see Jamie Rivers, I see Kerry Davis, and I see Anthony Stalter. And what I understand is, at a moment, we will see ourselves, and then we'll be able to read the YouTube chat.
How do you like that?
How about that?
Easy money.
I like this.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I like it a lot is what I like. So I can't. This is a new feature. Mike Ryder came in here during a commercial break on Friday and said, how about this? If I put it up on the television, then you won't have to look at your laptop, and you'll be able to just read the chat right in front of you on one of the monitors. And he's showing Jackson how to do it. And there's some chiropractic activity going on over now, Jackson, now. And now you can watch along with us here on 101 ESPN's YouTube channel. I'm a big fan. Yeah. It's Mike Ryder, innovator. Hey, there it is. And now you can see Jackson and Ryder looking up at it.
The lighting.
And then Hunter just said, boo. Looks like Tim had his boys beat up Jackson in the alley. I haven't seen you yet today.
Do I look?
You got a black eye?
Do I?
It kind of looks like it.
I wasn't roughhousing with anybody.
I watched most of the Mavericks game. That's from Tiny Pee Pee. Man, I like this feature. I'm this might surprise you. I'm easily distracted. And now that I'm just going to read comments right in front of me.
It is nice that it'll be right above my head, too. So yeah. I'll come as a surprise
it's
to
look
me.
Like, can you tell I'm not looking you in the eyes?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Morning, fellas. That's from Bach Hogg. Game changer, John scores.
Yeah.
This YouTube channel. Mike Ryder, innovator.
He
big
is.
Fan. Jackson, it is a Balloon Party, as you know, since you've been on it now for 28, 29 months. Nurse, somebody will check on that. And we welcome Pedal to participate. What? Nurse?
Pedal.
Piddle pate. That might work. participating in the YouTube chat here on the 101 ESPN channel. Jackson, what do you have prepared for our listeners and our viewers?
Yeah, today? I have a lot, but I'm as you're distracted by the 101 YouTube channel up on the TV, it seems to be some migrant geese walking through the parking lot here at Hubbard Radio, and I can't get over it. I can't get over it. There's two geese walking.
Well, this new YouTube chat activity has led to more Friends of the Feather gathering quickly.
Literally,
things are
Friends
happening.
Of the Feather right out there.
John Score says I look dapper.
You do. You do look really good.
Yeah. I'm excited about myself.
It's a classic look, but you're not doing it to be like checking a box. It's classic with your own little twist. You know, I mean, a navy coat and a blue sport
right.
Shirt.
I don't think there's anything cutting edge about it.
No, but it has just that touch of class.
Kind of like my hands around the green.
Yeah, you and Seve. It's the touch
Thank
of class.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's a compliment. Please respond. Don Tiny PP insists on hearing bad news immediately. This is business, not personal. It's from Conciliari Don Jansen.
Wartime.
I'm just going to be reading the YouTube chat. Geese, bro?
Yeah.
With Goldie struggling, should we expect a four-year extension this week? That's from Hold My Pocket.
Yeah, boy.
Man, I can't. Listening from Baltimore. It's from Blues Fan 1700. Stay safe out there. I guess that's to you about the geese. Oh, fishing out sports. Yeah. Tim looks like he could coach the Blues better than Bannister with that outfit. That's from Daddy Padre, former Blues goaltender.
I feel like if you were coaching, there'd be a tie on.
Do guys wear ties behind the bench?
I think any picture I've seen, they're usually in a tie.
Really?
I'd be on board with
someone. How much playoff hockey you watch this weekend?
Zero.
Okay.
Not even like in passing.
What about the 13 goals scored last night?
Good for who played? Blue shirts? Don or Gene Ellis? Aren't we getting Dean Ellis if they lose?
Bruins got a win on Saturday night against the Leafs.
Doesn't help the Blues' chances.
For the Jim Montgomery, I'm still putting my actions on that. My actions everywhere, though, so I could say, I told you.
Right.
I never Venmo'd you the $10.
I told you, but loop it into someone comes up with a deep dive topic.
Let's see. The Jets and the Avalanche. 7-6.
Oh, wow.
Break news to you on the show.
It's great for Winnipeg. Did Winnipeg end up the victors?
They did.
Nice. That's kind of my club for.
Oh, is that right? You're obviously passionate about them.
When they win
a playoff game, and I get to tell you,
I'm rooting for the Jets.
Jackson, it wasn't a great weekend for the Cardinals. Oh no, what happened?
This sucks.
Now, you acknowledge that you were kind of, what was the term you used?
Caping?
It was caping, yes. In the first week of the season. It was so odd. It just wasn't your brand. You know what? I was at a location on Friday. And I had a gentleman come up to me, and I don't think he would mind me saying.
Okay.
He was a little older. Mm-hmm. And I kind of default when somebody recognizes me a little older. What do I think? Tell me what I think. See if you...
So you're a fan of the 101 presentation.
That's correct. And he goes, you know, I listen. He goes, but I'm a big Doug guy. You know, I'm a little older. And I go, I get his sense of humor. I go, oh, TMA listener.
Nice.
Was that ageist of me?
No, yeah, but it was like...
But it was a nice, pleasant surprise.
Yeah, right. I don't know if it's necessarily ageist.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of what my mindset was. And he goes, man, but he also listens to Balloon Party. And he goes, I loved it a couple weeks ago. What was Jackson doing with this thing with the Cardinals? He goes, is he really trying to get a job with Pally's?
Yeah. That's everyone is jumping onto that ship. I want to be at Bailey's.
And then one of the people I was with said, what was Jackson doing? I said, hey, he was just really kind of an odd line. He was really like, he was doing the thing that kind of, that's the namesake Balloon Party. That's what Strauss would say, the late, great Joe Strauss. The Cardinals would lose again, like this weekend. And then the post game would show and be like, let's take a look at these highlights from the 2004 season. Yeah. And that was the Balloon Party. And there might be a lot of 2004 highlights in 2024 based on what we're seeing from this ball club. But that's what he was calling a Balloon Party, hence the name of this program. So the Cardinals struggles, does it hit you a little harder than because you were caping?
It was before the season. I was just optimistic.
It was after they played a few games.
I guess it was after the Dodgers first series. Yeah. Well, I saw a little bit of hope, just the slightest. I came out of this weekend with absolutely no hope.
Now you're selling all your stock. It means I'm going to buy it up because now it's a low value.
I mean, I'm not like completely moving off the team. They're 9-13. It seems far from, but like this weekend was one of the most disheartening weekends of baseball I've seen in a long time. I truly can't remember. I mean, Friday's game, terrible. They almost won somehow by walking in runs. That's all they can score. Sack flies, walking home runs, batter, catcher interference, any ways besides hitting the long ball. It's been 10 days, Tim. Nolan Arenado in Arizona.
Friday in Arizona, am I correct?
April 12th, Friday in Arizona, when as you said on TMA, remember, it was like the windiest day out to center field ever in across America. Winds blowing everywhere. That was the last time they hit a home run. Now, in fairness, Lars Nootbaar basically hit a home run yesterday, but Perkins, the Brewers outfielder, made one of the cleaner home run robs I've ever seen. Either way, they can't generate any offense whatsoever. It is beyond disheartening. And Goldie, bases loaded, one out, first inning. Let's go get Sonny Gray some run support right off the bat. Nope. Pop out to shallow right.
You're coming after him a little bit here. He was coming after himself.
And I know he starts a little bit slower, and it's probably exacerbated by the fact that nobody else on the team can hit either. So it's like really showing that Goldie's not hitting, but you got to get going. You got to get Arenado, even for the lack of power, at least is getting knocks. Like Goldie's just doing nothing.
Here's the issue. You know what this program is outside of well prepared every day?
Yeah, there we go. Focused.
This program is the macro show.
It is.
I can give you a take from yesterday and scream about yesterday, but the issue is he is in his last year with the Cardinals, contractually anyway. And he had a bad year last year. He had a bad spring. And then he had a great game to open the season against Tyler Glasnow and the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And that kind of wraps her up as far as a highlight goes
for
a good long while. And so now as we sit here,
you're talking about somebody hitting a .179 with one home run.
And no doubles or triples either. His only extra base has a home run.
So a .507 OPS.
Jesus.
Sweet mother of mercy.
That would get you sent down to the minors if you're a young player.
I suppose. Let me see if I can take your rights holder job. If you want to spin it positively, you would say, thank goodness they didn't do what I think most people probably thought they would do, which is give him an extension. And go, okay, hey, if this is the end, then all right, at least it's over and you're not on the hook with dead money.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, it's a positive. But that's a guy who's at the tail end of his career. The one that I keep talking about on this show is Jordan Walker. And if you enjoy Paul Goldschmidt's .179, then you must really enjoy Jordan Walker's .64 with a .511 OPS.
Mm.
And for the record, no home runs.
No.
They have a combined 12 RBIs. Only three teams in baseball have scored fewer runs than the St. Louis Cardinals, and all of them are in the American League, and two of them aren't really recognized as Major League Baseball teams. One's going to be playing in a minor league stadium, and I think the Chicago White Sox might give us some real entertainment this year, especially if you just want to just wager against them.
Yeah,
I don't know if Las Vegas can create a high enough money line. I saw they were going up against Zach Wheeler on Saturday because Zach Wheeler's on my fantasy team, and I'm going, I think I may have a fiduciary responsibility to my family to unload the bankroll on the Phillies money line.
Yeah.
I realize it's like -300. The White Sox can't hit.
No.
They can't hit anybody, much less that guy. So that's who the Cardinals are ahead of. That's it. That's it. The Twins, the White Sox, and the A's. I don't know what to make of it, Jackson. I can tell you the team that scored the most runs in baseball so far, a team that's below .500, is who they get now, as the Brewers leave town fresh off a sweep. The Cardinals have lost four in a row, and here they sit trying to right the ship. Did Stephen Wildwood leave a mic drop?
He did.
He did. All right, we'll have that on the other side of the break. We'll have the Little Piddles weekend wrap up. Your thoughts on where the Cardinals are. Now the YouTube chat is active as the day is long, and I like it. I can read it right in front of me now. This was what a wonderful little innovation by Mike Greiner. We'll have that as well as the Air Comfort Service text line 314-399-9646. This is Balloon Party, driven by Mungan S. St. Louis Acura, Mungan S. Burkhardt, Alton Toyota.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. It's Balloon Party. My name's Tim McKernan, and now I've got the YouTube chat right in front of me. Oh, it feels so good. I love this. I can't tell you how much I like this, Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
What an innovation. Yeah, it's up on one of the monitors in the studio here on 101 ESPN. And go to 101 ESPN YouTube. I mean, it's instantaneous. If you want to watch me read your hatred, you can now do that. So send it in. What do we want to focus on today? What do we want to focus on?
In the hatred department?
Yeah. What do we want to focus on?
Usually, like me, I didn't watch any hockey. Didn't watch the Battle Hawks. Didn't watch
City. Did you not just see the A.J. McCarron?
I did.
The Battle Hawks, the great Brian Stull. I hadn't seen Stull in a while.
Yeah.
Out there in the hallway.
Saw A.J. McCarron. I was like, hey, it's A.J. McCarron. It was cool.
Is that what you said to him? What did he say? Hey, that's Lil Piddles.
No, I wanted to walk by and just like monotonely say, hi, AJ McCarron, and then continued walking, but I just kept my head down,
yeah.
Pretended like, you know, I'm just a janitor here.
That Battle Hawks thing, I know we're talking Cardinals here. We got Stephen Wild with Mike Drapp. I'm just telling you, I'm in awe of it.
Yeah, man.
31,000 on Saturday, and the Cardinals are playing basically at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a phenomenon.
Yeah. What started as a way to like show the football world and certainly Kroenke that this city was not the problem has turned into people loving the product and loving the camaraderie and the energy in the stadium. And I think that's awesome.
Such a great thing. What the Battle Hawks have crowd-wise, can you imagine? I mean, just because I know the Battle Hawks thing is kind of either you're in or you're out. Mm-hmm. And if you're in, you're really, really in. And if you're out, you're like, okay, enough.
And I understand that. But here's something I think the vast majority of the audience, unless you're too young, can relate to. And that's me, Mr. Relatability. That's what they call me, Mr. Yeah. Relatability.
Right. You are the center of the spider web there.
Thank you. Imagine, if you would, that the crowd, and I'm talking about the energy and the passion that they're getting for a UFL game in mid-late April in St. Louis against the Memphis Showboats at 11:30 on a Saturday while the Cardinals are playing, you know, handful of blocks to the south away. Imagine that same kind of energy for when the Rams were here and great, by the way. And I know plenty of people say, oh, it was loud in there when they were great. It was, but I want to make sure I emphasize the following. It still wasn't as loud as plenty of other buildings that didn't have near the product that we had in 99, 2000, 2001, and 2003. And I was traveling all over to the other NFL stadiums with the Rams at that time. And it always kind of made me sit there and go, how in the world are people sitting there when the opposition's got third down? And you got a team competing for the Super Bowl here.
Right.
But whatever. The people who could have made that building as much of the most feared opponent venues in the league were not the ones who are sitting there and going to the games for the Battle Hawks now, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is what makes that the sports attraction it's become, is the energy, the atmosphere. And hey, you got a good team, too. Team that probably should be 4-0. Although I saw Anthony Beck say we deserve to lose the game when they lost in the 64-yard field goal to open up things at Ford Field. But either way, it's a damn good team. And here's the thing, you know, Ben Fredrickson, I'm a bit, as far as a guy goes, it's kind of like when Brian Burwell, be weird if you're like saying, I disagree with the column. Oh, is he taking a shot? No, I could disagree with the column. Brian Burwell is like the nicest human being in the world. But Ben Fredrickson, great guy, did shows with him, would do shows with him again, for that matter, Post-Dispatch columnist. And I read this column opening up STLtoday.com yesterday, and I'm like, Battlehawks should go ahead and win the whole thing. I'm like, okay, I mean, what do we got here? You know, Cardinals are a disaster. We're right in the, let's hope the Battlehawks win the whole thing. But then I read the column, and I thought the column was great because they do have the championship game here. And can you imagine?
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying?
That would be, I wonder if they get there.
Right.
What the numbers and the energy is like.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, man, those numbers could be. I mean,
right.
Hold 66.
Can you imagine?
Hold 66. I don't
if
know.
They're if they're in the championship game?
Yeah, but 50,000 plus? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally. And the energy would be unmatched.
40,000 on a Saturday night in April a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
With City playing at the same time.
Right. And
the home game, that is.
The game Saturday. Decently nice day out. You know, it wasn't like it was rainy and cold. It was a little colder,
yeah,
but
it was sunny. But yeah, nice. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's a phenomenon. Either way. All right. Jackson, Stephen Wildwood has left a mic drop. He is not happy about the Cardinals this weekend. Is that correct?
Or? Seems to be the
okay.
theme.
All right.
I mean, it's still early. We can turn this thing around. Stop it! What the hell is going on down there? Ali Marmol! You suck! Whitey Herzog could do a better job managing these teams, and he's dead! And Bowtie, why don't you do this? Why don't you have a players run the bases day? Because the kids are the only people in the Cardinals uniform who got to touch all the bases on Sunday. And another thing, Bowtie, pull the strings on Pinocchio Gersh and get him over here and change the light bulb that's out in my kitchen. Tired of it!
I didn't know if he was going to be pleased with Sonny Gray's effort and looking towards getting things back in order tonight against the pennant winners.
Almost 18 innings pitched and only giving up 2 earned runs.
Pretty,
I mean,
sick.
Not much you can do. I mean, and the 2 runs came on his final pitch in the game yesterday. So it's not like the guy hasn't been exactly what you want. Pretty much around the board for pitchers. Miles Michaelis had some spotty starts. Same with Lynn and Gibson. But not much more you could ask for as starting pitcher.
Sonny Gray is.
Yeah, he's a different world. I mean,
but the offense is the warmest of the garbage.
6 runs.
The warmest of the garbage. So here is what I would say. What stands out to me is you have a team that at the very least, is not particularly entertaining. As it turns out, they're not winning. And what I am noticing, actually, is that for every one Stephen Wildwood-esque perspective, I feel like there's about 25 are just like, they suck, I'm done, and in a way I'm kind of glad because they deserve it. You see what I'm saying? I actually think the Stephen Wildwood kind of anger would be better than the, nah, whatever, they suck, I'm over it, they're not doing anything.
Apathetic
kind of, yeah. Approach. And that is what is standing out to me through these first, 22 games of the season. And that, if I were the Cardinals, I would be concerned by that. In addition to the fact that that ballpark isn't real populated. I know they announce big numbers relative to what you see in the ballpark. But, I mean, if you've got to sweat a UFL game down the street impacting your attendance, or an MLS game impacting your attendance, you know, the game has changed around here. The game has changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, fans for years, really dating back to whenever you'd want to say it started, some would say 16, 17, 18, some would say here over the last couple of years have said, the only way it's going to change is if people stop going. And there's truth to that. Now, people are still going to go because the Cardinals have this regional approach and people come in as and kind of make it a trip to come to St. Louis to watch a Cardinal game. But locally, there's people stop going and then there's people stop caring. And that is the thing that stands out to me in doing this stuff now for 25 years, television, radio. This is a lot different than anything I've seen as far as, in a way, I'm kind of happy because they deserve it. This is what you get. And there's apathy. There's growing apathy. There's anger, don't get me wrong, but what's really noticeable to me is the apathy. Or of course they're no good. I think what's standing out is the reason at this moment why they're 9-13 is not the reason that people probably thought they would be, because overall, number one, Gray's been incredible. But on the other side of it, it's not like they're losing because of the pitching. Michaelis's start Saturday would be an example of that. Gibson's start in the previous homestand would be an example of that. But overall, for the most part, the pitching has kept them in the game. It's the offense that has been the reason why they're losing games. And the offense is not just like, it's abysmal.
Yeah.
It's abysmal. I would say you have two guys of your regular starting lineup performing above what you would have expected.
Yep.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Who are you thinking? Make sure
Contreras and Mason Wynn.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Other than that, not only are they below, they're well below. Well below.
Yeah.
And some of these guys, such as Jordan Walker, for example, it gets to a point, and that's the one I keep bringing up. I mean, not because like he's got a bad attitude or anything like that. I'm just looking at it strictly through baseball. If anything, he couldn't be a more pleasant person. But that guy had all kinds of expectation. He was killing it in spring in 2023, and then gets hurt and has not been the same guy since. And I don't know if the two are related or if it just was a fluke the 2 weeks in spring, but you can't say it was a fluke before that because he was tearing the cover off the ball in the minors and there was so much hope about him. I mean, he was one of the most talked about prospects. A whole year's worth of data. And now you got the first month of the season here. This is rough. I hope it turns around because that was a guy I was thinking could be the face of the franchise.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's over now, but man, this is rough. It is rough. And I don't know how to explain it because I'm looking at offensive numbers that I never thought would be the case.
Yeah.
And from a baseball macro standpoint, the fact that people are not really all that worked up about it, again, relatively speaking. Now, if you're like on Cardinal message boards or Facebook pages or just on Twitter, then yeah, you can find your anger and go, hold on, what are you talking about? People are angry. But I'm talking about from a broad spectrum. People are like, of course they suck. I mean, what'd you think? I thought they were going to suck. I thought they'd be around 500, you know? And so people just aren't really all that worked up about it. That's what stands up to me, the apathy. And the apathy is a bigger problem than the anger. It is 10:30 in St. Louis. Time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers. Your thoughts on the topic? The YouTube chat right there for you, and we can look at it now. Let's see, A.J. Brown, I guess that's the Eagles receiver. I'm hardly even watching or turning on the radio, given how big it was for me growing up. That is from A.J. Brown. It's $19 for chicken fingers and fries. That's from Jeff R., explaining why he's not going.
Yeah, man. I mean, all obvious reasons, and the fact that you go to a game where you're going to watch no offense. If you went to a game, I guess if you went to Saturday's game, you saw a little bit of Cardinal offense. If you went to Friday or yesterday's game, you saw nothing that would make you want to come back to watch it.
As a baseball just dork, I love low-scoring starting pitching games mm-hmm. if they're good.
Right.
You know, Colin Ray isn't like the guy that I'm like, oh, good, Colin Ray's pitching today, you know. But, I mean, Colin Ray is having a fine season, relatively speaking. Peralta's sick.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to go, okay, that's Gray and Peralta, you got two guys who could be in the conversation for the Cy Young. Let's see a pitcher's duel. The issue is the macro. Again, I keep going back to this, the big picture. The issue is that this has been going on all season, and they get shut down by some randoms.
Mm-hmm.
It's alarming.
Yeah.
That's alarming.
If you were to look at one possible positive, it's productive outs. They lead the league in sac flies. But that's the only way they're generating offense is by committing an out while doing it. Like, they don't have a base hit to the gap where they score two runs. They don't have three-run homers to kick off the game. They get sac flies and pray that someone walks home a run in the ninth inning.
Your thoughts are welcome. YouTube chat is active as the day is long. Like seeing that. And of course, text in 314-399-9646. Air Comfort Service text line. This is Balloon Party, driven by Mungan S. St. Louis Acura. Mungan S. Burkhardt, Alton Toyota on 101 ESPN and the 101 ESPN YouTube channel.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. This is Balloon Party 101 ESPN. Tim McKernan, Jackson Burkett with you here on the program. We're in the midst of a Little Piddles weekend wrap-up. And the YouTube is now in front of us on a monitor right over Jackson's head. And so I can read all of the comments. AJ Brown, Eagles receiver, very active. Pro golfers still have swing coaches, and on a bad day, they leave it left fringe. That's a thought from AJ Brown of the Philadelphia Eagles. And maybe he's talking about Scottie Scheffler. Maybe he's talking about Nelly Korda. Scheffler finished off another win this morning at Hilton Head. That is four wins in five tournaments. And Jackson, he has only been beaten by one golfer in the last month and a half. And that was because he missed a 5-foot putt that would have sent it to sudden death. Meanwhile, Nelly Korda has won five straight events on the LPGA Tour, an era of dominance
in
the world of golf.
It's crazy.
Jackson, the Little Piddles weekend wrap up. What do we have going on?
STL City SC with an exciting 3-3 draw.
Did you watch it?
No.
What were you doing?
I was.
High pitch, pick up the read.
That was Saturday evening. I was at the picture house. I was seeing a movie with my girlfriend.
What picture did you see at the picture house?
A movie called Civil War by Alex Garland.
How did it treat you?
It was good, really good.
Bad.com.
Good. Highly recommend it. You might think it's like super political. It's not at all. It's literally devoid of all politics, which is impressive in a movie about the Civil War, not the Civil War. Futuristic Civil War.
Okay.
No politics, which was interesting.
Fair enough.
Either way, though, 3-3 draw over the weekend against cross-state rival Sporting KC. The Border Clashico, as they call it, was just another exciting final result for the Doggies. Do you think there will be a time in the near future where we break down and see City as a counterpart to the Blues and Cardinals? And do you think it would correlate with American soccer interest, or could St. Louis supersede national interest levels locally?
100% yes on the last question. I don't even sweat that. Are you in lockstep with me on that?
Yeah, I think saying like before.
For example, if I understand the question correctly, because I might be misreading it, and therefore me asking you the question is unfair. Like the way the Battle Hawks
have
interest level relative to the rest of the UFL teams?
Yes.
Yes, 100% with City relative. I mean, hell, it's this case over here versus Kansas City.
Yeah, right.
Already.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of the program, Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com, regular both here on Balloon Party and TMA. I said, I guess you're going to come on tomorrow and rub it in our face about what happened. And he goes, what happened? And I go, Sporting Kansas City beating
City out of the playoffs. He goes, I didn't even know what was going on. And he was watching the NFL. So that now that's one gentleman.
Yeah.
But, yes, we have some things going on here that other places don't.
Yeah. Can I give a brief shout-out to the Colonel Gabriel P.
Please do. He's a delightful gentleman.
So I was reading his website, powermizzou.com, after the stadium renovations were approved. And he said it was the most overwhelmingly positive review of something Mizzou-related in his years of owning and operating that message board. And he said, usually people can't even agree that the sky is blue. So to see this was impressive to him.
How about that?
And I really enjoyed that.
A positive thought from the Colonel.
I really enjoyed that commentary by Gabe. Yeah. But either way, yes, I think that, similar to the Battlehawks, I think that's a great analogy, is that if national interest in soccer grows and grows, I think St. Louis will be on the forefront of that. I think it will be one of the leading markets in that national interest. And I think come 2026, when the World Cup is being played in North America, you might see a real spike in soccer. But I think before that, St. Louis City will be right there in terms of, sorry, I guess Apple TV hasn't released viewership numbers, but attendance-wise, based on the stadium size, I can't imagine.
Incredible enthusiasm, yeah. No question.
Yeah, and I think that it's the way they play is much more exciting than, I think people give soccer a bad rap because, you know, it's, oh, we watched a 90-minute game for a 0-0 draw.
Six goals on Saturday, Jackson.
Not much more you can ask for in that department, so I think they're doing a great job. And I can't wait to get to a game. I still haven't been to a game. I need to go.
That's because you're too busy at the picture house.
I would suspend any picture house viewings if I had some tickets. They're just a little pricey. But that's the cost of doing business when you play in a little bit smaller of a stadium, but you also get the more intimate atmosphere. So
it's a hell of an atmosphere.
Yeah, truly is. So I think nothing but good things to say about what's going on with City, and I hope it continues.
Those renderings looked awesome. Mizzou has real positive momentum right now. Now let's get an AD. That is from the 314. Grape Ape Auto Detailing says, I hope SC doesn't become close to the level of the Cardinals or the Blues because soccer sucks. That's from the Grape Ape Auto Detailing. As you know, the Grape Ape Auto Detailing is my guy. And with him being my guy, maybe we can politely disagree, but it isn't going to change the fact. Grape Ape Auto Detailing, my guy.
He's your guy. I will politely disagree with him as well. You know, I think it's a weird thing Americans have with soccer. Some Americans, I shouldn't say all, but some Americans just have, they hear the word and it's like a boogeyman word to them. It's like, oh, of course not gross, but it's like, oh, it's really popular everywhere else.
Yeah, I sat and watched it with my 6-year-old on Saturday evening. I was not at the picture house.
Yeah, you were doing the work.
Well, I mean, I'm a family man with a family plan.
Right, meat and potatoes guy.
Meat and potatoes guy, proletariat. You've heard it before.
You were probably eating meat and potatoes while watching a game.
That's a great question. I got Billy G's.
Oh,
actually.
Good. Pizza?
I did.
Nice.
Boys wanted wingy. Trash wings.
Yeah, I like the wings.
Fries to wash it down.
Of course.
I got some, I had a couple of those, I'll be honest with you. I mean, the 2-year-old, what's he know? I can't even have a conversation with him. Oh, and then, but then I did go to the range with him from 7:15 to 9.
Jeez.
And he wore me out, the 2-year-old. It got to a point, okay, just finish the bucket. You're 2. Yeah, there's my Saturday night. The times, they have changed since I started in this radio game, Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be out there, just the Studio 54 of St. Louis, the Velvet Room.
Of course, yeah, shutting it down.
And now I'm at the range, eating carry-out pizza and wings on a Saturday night.
I gotta be honest, the latter sounds much more fun.
Is that right? Really? Yeah. Look at you. You're an old soul. That's what I say. People ask me about you. They do.
Yeah.
And I say, great guy, hard worker, old soul.
Yeah, the partying and drinking stuff is just...
That's because you're a man in love now, though.
Yeah, but even when I was Han Solo, I just didn't love...
Is that right?
I don't like binge drink. I don't like loud music in my face, dark lit rooms, guys with tans, the whole thing.
You don't like gentlemen with tans?
Everywhere.
Wow.
It's just every time I go out, I was like, where are these people getting
so tan? My wife's
Italian,
and I kind of take offense to that. Well, on her behalf.
Well, I mean, there's like naturally darker skin, and then there's like people with tans. That's what I'll say.
I mean, you know, she puts some kind of cocoa oil or something on when we're at the pool, and I'm putting on a 50 block.
At least.
Thank you.
They make more.
Absolutely.
People put on tanning oil.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
How's that?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's an anti-Italian statement you made. You'll be issuing an apology on Twitter. It'll go well.
I only look at my camera.
Thank you.
I love Italians. I love Italian Americans. I love the culture. And if I said anything that seemed
derogatory and offensive,
thank you. I rescind those comments, and I want to again, I am pro-Italian.
Let's see if my wife accepts that apology.
She thinks she's tuning in.
Pitch out. Nobody going. Ladies and gentlemen, we have one more segment of Balloon Party for the day. That is Jackson Burkett. He is pro-Italia, and he wants everybody to know it, but you still can come after him on Twitter when he issues his statement that will go through three levels of legal counsel before it goes out on the Twitter tweets. This is Balloon Party on 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. This is Balloon Party 101 ESPN. My name is Tim McKernan. That's Jackson Burkett. AJ Brown of the Eagles did not know that we did other shows.
Yeah, we do. Two other shows.
Yeah. One of them celebrating its 20th birthday in July.
That's right.
Yep, 20 years old. You could be 20 in July of 2004. TMA will turn 20 in 2004 as well. How about that, Jackson?
It's crazy.
No, you were 6 when the show went on the air.
Yep, I was 6 years old.
I was your age when the show went on the air. Actually, maybe a little older, 27.
Wow. Yeah, that is, as
and
I
now look at me, I'm an old, broken down boy.
How do we go that far?
Yeah. I got to hate, for those on YouTube and you weren't watching TMA this morning, look at this finger I got going on. Here, let me, this isn't the middle finger, by the way. I don't, it's, you know. But this is my ring finger in my right hand, if you're watching on YouTube. And it's, what do you think's going on with that?
It's kind of by the nail, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
certainly
something.
Doesn't want to say anything, something's in there.
Could be an ingrown hair of some sort. Could be something going on. But yeah, you got to get that taken care of.
Yeah.
And so the last finger issues are tough.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm telling you. We got the Jay Randolph Jr., may he rest in peace, Fan Page Club Championship on, boy, it looks like I'm flipping people off, but you can tell that's not the middle finger.
Look at the focus, though, on the cameras.
Yeah, the focus of the cameras are choice. On Sunday, and I can't hold a golf club right now with this damn thing. All right, Jackson, yeah, one more, yeah, time for one more, make it a good one, before we hand it off to BK and Ferrario here. This Little Piddles weekend wrap-up.
This might sound like a dumb question, but I promise you it's not. I think it's actually timely, and I think it's interesting. It's not just
anytime
a standard.
Anytime there is a disclaimer on the front end, I'm concerned.
Well, it's going to sound like, what's the Mount Rushmore? But I think there's a little more thought process going on.
All right, I'll trust you.
So following the passing of the great Whitey Herzog, if they started a St. Louis Coaching and Management Hall of Fame.
Oh, I like the question.
He would have to be the first person in there. But if you had to induct four other first ballot Hall of Fame coach or management for St. Louis sports across history, how'd you do it?
Wow. Number one, as much as I love Whitey Herzog, I'm not sure it's as absolute. You're saying he's George Washington on the Mount Rushmore? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just based...
I think he's certainly in the conversation, but I'm not sure it's like his...
Success-wise, like obviously the one World Series, but like the legacy he left, like the interest in Cardinals baseball he cultivated from those 80s teams.
Man, it puts me to the test to get to four because I don't feel like there are like...
There's no like the standouts.
I mean, I think Herzog and La Russa are both automatically in.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to put Berube in, but I want to try to not go Mike Greenberging in Prisoner of the Moment. But I mean, he brought the only chalice, and it's not like the teams were like that was a one-off with an 8 seed. I mean, it was a great team.
Berube is in my book.
Okay. I mean, Dick Vermeil got the Super Bowl win. Mike Martz led him to the NFC Championship. I feel like you're probably going to like say somebody who's coaching the St. Louis Hawks.
I'll avoid that because they couldn't keep the team here.
I mean, Red Schoendienst?
Yeah, I think he would have to be in there.
Who
and management. I mean, management, you can put in.
Oh, management. Well, now you're on management. Now
we're coaching and management.
Oh, what a question. All right, Tiny Pee-Pee's with me on Craig Berube, as long as I, you know.
Could Mosey Luck maybe get in there?
Are you like now playing a character? Did you go, you know what?
All Dan I did was Olofsky. Ask a question. All I did was ask a question.
Right. You and cable news.
No, I report, questions. You decide.
We're just asking questions. Oh, God. All right, Herzog, La Russa, Berube. But now I feel like that's not fair to the like first 100 years of St. Louis sports.
Well, a lot of the championships, well, I guess Cardinal-wise, that's not the case.
Let's see what's going on in the text inbox. Jackson, are you seriously doing a Mount Rushmore?
No. No, if you listen to the question, I said it wasn't a Mount Rushmore. This is a coaching Hall of Fame.
Oh, it's
first
a Hall of
ballot.
Fame.
First ballot is an important status.
So I'm not limited to four?
The other people can get in later, but this is like, these are the first five, you know, and Whitey being one of them.
So Whitey's in, LaRusse's in, Berube's in. I mean, Doug Armstrong then.
Yeah. Yep. I would agree.
Let's see what we got. Branch Rickey. It's a nice play.
Really good
That's
play.
That's a really nice play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because I can't
speak necessarily.
Scotty Bowman takes the Blues to three straight finals out of the gate. I was thinking about Scotty Bowman.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, as crazy as it might sound to some people, I would think about Joel Quenneville, you know? I mean, if I'm limited to four, he's probably not in there if we're going to, I mean, I feel like, and listen, I got to be honest, for those of you who are a little older than me, you might be like, dude, how can you ignore this from the 70s, you know?
Yeah.
Or 60s for that matter.
Yeah. I'm also asking you this question, you know, right now. Like, it's not like we had like 2 hours beforehand to really break down this. I'm asking you right now. Probably unfair on my part. This is my bad.
Getting a lot of, no, I like it. You said coaching Hall of Fame, and now you're throwing in Doug Armstrong. That's from the 636.
See, and so I'm so confident that I know I said coaching and management. I remember even the inflection that I put on it.
Yeah.
And management. So that person, they won't apologize for being wrong, but they expect greatness out of me at all times. And so I think that's an interesting double standard.
See if 636 apologizes.
Doubt it.
Do you include Norm Stewart? Or are we just going St. Louis,
Ooh,
St. Louis?
Yeah, no, we can include, yeah. Because then maybe Pinkel? Maybe Pinkel?
Yeah.
Maybe Pinkel? Maybe Storm and Norman would get in there?
I mean, now I got to be put to the test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We could sit on
can
this
Can we
for
do
a day.
Like starting in 1980 so we can, I mean, but that's not even fair to the younger people. I mean, it's like, okay, now you got to be like 45, mm-hmm. you know, that isn't fair.
Yeah. We could sit on this one for
all right
till tomorrow and come
you,
up.
With, you always unload these glorious questions right in the final segment. I'm like, okay, favorite uniforms you saw this weekend. That's what I thought. Like a little kicker, the squirrel on water skis, you know? Oh, and look, here's a young girl at the park with a kite. Ah, yes, BK and Ferrario's up next. The kicker. You instead start going 60 minutes on me right at 10:53.
I'll
and
go.
Hey, I like the question.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the way you stack the block is a little backwards, eh?
Yeah, well, I'm not great at what I do, but the Brewers caps, throw those in the incinerator.
That's right.
The three-panel cap looks terrible. Terrible.
People are saying put Walt Jockety in there on the YouTube chat, which is right in front of me now.
Whoever took the Navy road caps away from us is not going in.
Oh, you're going to have to build with the third.
Yeah, well,
all right,
he knows how to reinstate himself. Just bring back the Navy road caps.
Gosh, I couldn't agree with you more. God.
Oh, I know it.
I am bothered by how much I'm bothered by the red road cap.
It's the terrible look.
I am so bothered
look
by
it. Look like a minor league baseball team is what they look like.
Yeah.
Come on now. You had something that made you.
It's the only thing unique. You and I are in 100% lockstep on. The red road cap.
Yeah. Ellerice's hair color.
You like brunette or blonde?
Dishwater.
Dishwater blonde. Yeah. Okay, we got those two things going. All right, there it is. BK and Ferrari will carry on more on the Ellerice hair color conversation. For Jackson Burkett, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been Balloon Party, driven by Munganess. St. Louis Acura, Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton, Toyota on 101 ESPN.
You've been listening to The Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.